As was announced a minute ago, the scripture reading will be from Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 17 and reading down through verse 29. Matthew 26, verse 17. Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" And he said to him, "You have said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
As Donald just read in the book of Matthew chapter 26, we see that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper on the night of the partaking of the Passover, the observance of the Jewish law, were remembering their freedom from Egypt. So they were commanded to keep that, and they kept it on a regular basis. And so it was for a memorial of their freedom from Egypt, the blood over the doorpost that Christ had delivered them, that he would pass over them and not kill the firstborn if it was on their doorpost. And so they kept that hundreds of years. And now we see that Christ is observing that under the law of Moses, which is around the time in which he lived. And he's telling his apostles then, he's preparing them to get ready for the new kingdom. He's going to fulfill the law in that he was going to die on the cross. And when he did that, he would fulfill the law and nail it to the cross and open up the New Testament, the law of Christ, and put it into effect, under which we have grace, mercy, and the love of God bestowed upon us for him. We can have forgiveness of sins. So Jesus was preparing them to partake of the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine in the kingdom, which is the church, to remember him. As we read this morning in our first lesson, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the fact that Paul reminded the Corinthians that Jesus told them, "This do in remembrance of me." So it's a memorial that we've discussed in the first 45-minute service this morning about who Jesus is, and many of the things that he is to us, many of the things that he has done for us, and many of the things that he continues to do for us, and that it's a memorial that we do every first day of the week as Christians, as we're commanded to do, and we have examples set forth for us to follow in the New Testament that the early Christians observe that memorial also on the first day of the week on a regular basis. And so we're going to continue this morning and talk a little bit more about being reminded about Jesus and who he is. And of course, as we think about that, we consider again tomorrow being marked on our calendars as Memorial Day. And it began back shortly after the, sometime after the Civil War, they began to take and put things on the graves of those similar soldiers. And it grew from there. And so over time and over wars and over periods of time, we see that it has become a national holiday wherein it's for the memory of those who gave the ultimate price of their lives. And many of you as families or as friends of people who have gave the ultimate price over time, perhaps in the Vietnam War or the Middle East or Afghanistan or perhaps in Vietnam or Korea or World War II, even back to World War I. Some of you may have family members or even further back on that gave their lives for the cause of freedom. And so we have a memorial to remember those people. And it's a touching thing to think about those who gave the ultimate price. Being affected in my own immediate family by the loss of one of our family members in that regard. And then friends that I had in high school that went to high school, and then those that some that went on to college and had to go serve and did go serve and didn't come back physically. They lost their lives. Some that we grew up around and knew, at least knew all their families, and some of them, the young men left and they never came back physically. So memorial for that. But the greatest memorial is that which we're talking about this morning, that we observe on the first day of the week, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the things that He is for us. So let us remind ourselves today about who we are in Christ and who Christ is and what He's done for us, and think about that most important memorial that Donald just read in Matthew 26, verses 26 through 29, that was established on the night of the Passover by Jesus, by His apostles, to be observed in the kingdom, anew in the kingdom. So when we're here on the first day of the week in the kingdom, which belongs to Christ, in His family, which is His, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, purchased by His blood. He is in our midst. He is with us, and we observe this memorial, and He is with us in that observance. The Father is with us in spirit. They see everything, and they know everything we do. Going back to 1 Corinthians 11 again, there where Paul told them in Corinth, where he said, this is what the Lord said, this is what we received from the Lord on the night of His betrayal. Do this in remembrance of me. And then we see then in Acts 20, verse 7, that Christians did come together upon the first day of the week to do what? To break bread. And they were encouraged in Hebrews 10, verse 25, not to forsake the assembling of themselves together. And we see the pattern then set forth for us today. First day of the week, each first day of the week, come together to do what? To observe the memorial, remember His death, His suffering, the sacrifice He made, and do the other things in worship that are to be done on the first day of the week in honor to God and the teaching of His Word, singing and praying and teaching the Word of God, a break of bread, the fruit of the vine, and laying by in store. So we need to always remember Jesus Christ and let Him rise up as a memorial to us each day that we live. So this morning, let's go to Romans chapter 8, if you will, if you don't mind. And let's talk about some of the things there that we ought to be reminded of, that we ought to keep in memory about Jesus, the Son of God. Because Paul in Romans chapter 8 describes many things that ought to be a memorial to us because of who Christ is and what He's done for us and the benefits we have in serving Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, we see that in Christ we are free from the law of sin and death. Sin separates man from God. And because of sin, we all die. Sin came about in the Garden of Eden when Eve took of the forbidden fruit and gave to her husband. They were put away from the tree of life, and they were going to have to work with the sweat of their brow and go out into the world and live and then die physically. So we die physically because of sin. But sin separates us from God. And when sin separates us from God, we don't come to God to have forgiveness of our sins. We see that we are trapped in sin, and sin enslaves us. And if we die in our sins and haven't come to God for forgiveness, then we're going to be separated from God, and we're trapped in something that will cause us to be put in a place of eternal destruction called hell, which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever. So we want to be free from that. We want to be free from our sins that burden us down and separate us from God. And so we're free from the law of sin and death, and we're free then also from the law of Moses, wherein the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. But through that law and through the promises of God, it was prophesied that a Messiah would come, which is Jesus, who set up this with His apostles to be observed in the kingdom of His death. It was going to happen just a short time after He set this observance up to happen. And when a few weeks later than when Peter would preach the first sermon, and those people would respond to the gospel call concerning the death of Christ and repent of their sins and be baptized, they would be in the kingdom. And then those that were in the kingdom then observed and remembered as a memorial the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the first day of the week, and we're to do the same thing. So in Christ, we're set free from the law of sin and death. And in verse 5 through 8, we see that because we're set free from the sin, from the law of sin and death in Christ and through Christ Jesus, and provisions that are made there in Christ and through Christ and of the gospel, we're set free from the law of sin and death. And then in that, we can have life and peace. We have life in Christ, life in God, because we're no longer dead in sin. We're alive in Christ. And we have life in Christ here and life eternally when we serve God faithfully. Look at verses 5 through 8 of Romans chapter 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So we need to remember that in Christ we're made free from the law of sin and death, and in Him we have life and peace, because outside of Christ we cannot be set free of sin. And outside of Christ, we can't have any peace of knowing that our sins are washed away, or any peace of knowing we're going to go to heaven, because we don't have that hope outside of Christ. Thirdly, in verses 9 through 11 in Romans chapter 8, we see the Apostle Paul tells us that in Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in us. And so we know we are a spirit living in a fleshly body, and we're made like God, so we are a spirit. But in Christ, and through the blood of Christ that purchased us from our sins, and us turning to God in obedience to His Word, in adherence to His Word, and letting the Word live in us, the Spirit of God dwells within us through Christ and through His Word and His will and His way. Look at verses 9 through 11. But you who are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. So there you go. What's our memorial today? About Christ and the sacrifice He made so that we could be in Christ and of God and be His children and let the Spirit of God dwell in us. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So when Christ dwells in us and the gospel dwells in us, we know then that the Spirit of God dwells in us because we are wherein obeying God's Word worketh righteousness and not unrighteousness. So it's dwelling in us. We become a people that practice righteousness. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, that's the Spirit of God, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. So look at the things we need to memorialize on a regular basis about Jesus, that through Him we're set free from the law of sin and death. In Christ and through Him we have life and peace. And in Christ and through Him the Spirit of God dwells in us. Look at verses 14 through 17 there in Romans chapter 8. Again, in Christ we are children and heirs of God. Children of God and heirs of God. God is the Father. We have an inheritance as His children. The inheritance is going to be salvation in heaven because we are His children, and that inheritance is provided by Christ, who provided the way that we could come to God and be His children in the first place for the forgiveness of sins. Verse 14, he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the Spirit of abundance again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And so, Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. We're an heir of God through Christ. We're his children, and we will receive the inheritance that is ours from the Father, that is provided through Christ, of eternal life, because we received in this life the forgiveness of sins, because we by faith submitted to God's will and his way through his word, received the Spirit and obeyed it to be baptized into Christ. Then we go to verse 18, and we see that in Christ, our problems in this life, whatever they may be, temptations, trials, troubles, disappointments, hard times, whatever it may be, suffering because of our religious beliefs, whatever the issue, but our problems here are overshadowed in glory. That is the fact that if we'll persevere and serve God faithfully here, we have an inheritance in heaven where there's no night, no suffering, no pain, no sorrow, where God the Father and the Son is there forever and ever and ever. We can be there with them. Our problems here are only minute and few and temporary, even though they may seem many and hard and often. In essence, life is brief at the longest here on earth. It's brief. And the passing of time, let's use it badly, so that the problems here can be overshadowed with the glory that's coming, the glory of salvation. Look at verse 18. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So, when we serve God faithfully here, faithful service here overshadows anything that might not be faithful service and anything that may come our way. Faithful service here helps us then to hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," so that in glory we receive eternal salvation. What a wonderful thing. And then we need to remember and count our blessings in Christ and understand that in Christ we have hope in this life, and not hope only, but we know when we persevere, we have the assurance of a life in heaven. We have hope and perseverance in Christ, because it is in Christ and through him and obedience to his word that we persevere to resist sin, to let the word dwell in us so we can overcome sin and get forgiveness of sin. And we have then the hope of eternal life. Verses 23 through 25. "Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees?" Then verse 25. "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." We cannot physically see heaven. We cannot physically see the other side of death. But by faith, by the eye of faith, we see what God has promised through his word that we can physically read here. We can read the testimony of inspired men. We can have faith in the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So in that, and in all that, we have hope. And in the hope of going to heaven, we persevere through the things in this life so that when life is over, we will be found faithful and we can have assurance of a home in heaven. Well, in chapter 8, we continue to look this morning, verses 26 and 27, and we need to remember that in Jesus, there is help for our weaknesses. I have weaknesses. You may have some. I have to be concerned about myself because I'm the one that's weak. You know wherein you're weak if you have any. But there is help for our weaknesses. And we know that everyone does have some weaknesses, some more so than others. Verses 26 and verse 27, in Christ we have this. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." When we're in Christ, when we're a child of God, we have the Spirit that can make intercession for us. We have the mediator with Christ, who is our go-between. Verse 27, "Now he who searches the hearts," that is God, "knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit searches their heart. Christ is our mediator. The Holy Spirit makes intercession. Verse 27 again. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we have help for our weaknesses. As children of God, we can read the Word of God. We can have help and comfort in the Word. The Word can comfort us. We can find comfort in it when we by faith obey it. We can find warnings in it. We can find things in it that will guard us and help us in our life. There is help for our weaknesses, because we, on the human side, we are weak. We're weak physically, we become weak mentally, and so we need to be strong spiritually. And so in Christ, we need to remember where our help is, from God through Christ. Then we have Christ who makes intercession for us. Verses 31 through 34. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So we're seeing these things that God does for us, that he's freely given us, and freely gives us those things through Christ. We need to remember where our blessings come from. And then verses 35 through 37, remember that in Christ and through Christ, in obedience to the Word of God and the Gospel, we can conquer the issues of life through the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, in obedience to the Word. To him who loved us, we can conquer the issues of life. Verses 35 through 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are all killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Think about that. Think about what God provides for us. And then God's love through Christ will always be there. Verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have all these spiritual blessings bestowed upon us through Christ Jesus, from the Father, through the Word. Are we listening? Are we remembering these things? Think about it. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, this is just a little reminder for us this morning in the first lesson in this one of who God is, who His Son is, what the God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit has done for us and continues to us, do for us through His Word, and how that we need to remember the most important memorial that we can ever observe is on the first day of the week, when we remember the suffering and death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One more reminder before we conclude our lesson. We have many memorials in life. I mentioned this morning devoted to numerous things. But Jesus, what Jesus did, is the most important memorial that we can ever keep on the first day of the week. Memorials that we observe, for instance, 4th of July, birthdays, such like, Memorial Day, they're okay within themselves. And we should be thankful that we have an opportunity to remember those
and who served and gave the ultimate price for our freedom, as far as we know it, as people of this nation. But most important is the freedom we have in Christ and what he did for us. All these things are so very important. We're going to conclude the lesson, but before we do, I want to remind us of one more thing. Alan mentioned it this morning. The gospel meeting next week, here, next Sunday morning. What does it mean to say everyone's welcome? Should mean I'm going to invite a few people. Should mean you're going to invite a few people. Everyone's welcome to come to God. Matthew 20, Mark 16, 15, 16. Let us remember why we're here. But most of all, let's remember today what God has done for us through Christ, and do it in spirit and truth. And pray that our worship is acceptable to them. If you're here this morning and you have something you need that we can help you with, please come while together we stand and while we sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus.